Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Hour number 2, we're on till 10 o'clock. Pretty much on every weekend until Labor Day. And I'm going to be off at Labor Day, Albert, just giving you advance notice, 7 months, because I'll be at the LSU-Clemson game in Clemson. Never been to Clemson before. Yeah. So. Also, 12 days to LSU baseball. They open up with Purdue from Fort Wayne, I believe. And LSU basketball, 1-7 in the SEC, lost to Texas, which is a mediocre team by 31 points. So we're just buying that time for LSU baseball. And please trade Zion. Please. Let's get rid of him. Just start all over. He's a cancer. We need to get rid of him. But there's no takers. I would have traded Zion for Luka. Albert, would you have done that?
Yeah, well, they ended up trading Anthony Davis and a couple others for him. So, yeah. You know, I don't know that Anthony Davis would have come back here. So
I would have taken Luka, but we're definitely snake bit this year with Murray out for the year. So it's just,
well, again, so, I mean, is that the secret word going around the NFL? You know, I mean, NBA, that, hey, look, if you don't want to be in a particular team, just play like you're hurt, you know, and that way you won't play and they'll be tired of you and want to trade you. Because I know Baron Davis did it. Anthony Davis did it. It seems like
Chris Paul,
you know, B.I.'s doing it. You know, Zion's been hurt more than he played. I don't know. You know,
yeah.
Some teams just get stuck. Some players just get stuck on a team. I will tell you, though, they played the Celtics
nights in a row. That was a good game. That was very tough.
A lot of bad turnovers early in the last game, but, you know, ended up losing by a bucket at the very end, you know, made by a top five player in the NBA. So, you know, they can play with other teams. And, you know, it took Trey, you know, 40 points in a almost a career high to get there. But, you know, and somebody's got to teach CJ how to shoot free throws, because, you know, he'll make threes. He'll make amazing shots left, right, you know, driving on 7-footers and staying at the free throw line and doing it off the front of the rim. So it's just little things, you know, just some bad passes you know, when you're playing the NBA champ, you got to play a perfect game or close to perfect game. You can't beat yourself.
Yeah, so, I think it's fair to say that the Pelicans have been totally snake bitten. But you know, it's just very disappointing the lack of progression and the lack of maturity, the lack of becoming a pro that Zion has been, and. Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, it's interesting. You have to pay first and hope they perform rather than perform and you get rewarded. And that's the gamble that you take.
Right.
And I was a couple of years ago, I wish they would have moved them. And I think what you really have to do is study somebody like that and say, do they have the capability of maturing or not? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you need psychiatrists or somebody who can predict all this and say, give them these, you know, to sort of watch them and evaluate them and say, is this a person that we should invest $250 million in? And do they have the mentality to handle that? Do they have that mentality? Like, if C.J. McCollum's had Zion, was in Zion's body, I would say I would invest in C.J. because C.J. is a very, very hard worker, knows how to take care of himself. You know, he's just a pro. He's a pro's pro. And, but, you know,
yeah,
I think, you know, Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas, before they, and you said this before, you were way ahead of this. You know, did Michael Thomas have that mentality to handle this, I guess, reward to, you know, paying $100 million?
And again, I think my opinion was based more on Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You know,
right?
Drew Brees. When all you have to do is turn and the ball hits you in the chest, you know you're gonna. You know, you just need to be open by a little bit, and then you know you're gonna be. You catch the football, and we talked about this before. You know, Odell Beckham with this circus catch, three finger catch in the end zone. Well, it was Drew Brees that hit him in the chest. And so, you know, now, but Odell Beckham's this wonderful receiver. He made a great catch, but, you know, Michael Thomas didn't have to do that very often, or if at all, because, you know, he'd run a 15-yard or 10-yard route. He'd make the cut, and the ball, you know, the ball was in the air before he cut. And now all of a sudden, you know, wait, I'm this wonderful receiver. Well, you know, maybe not. Maybe it was about Drew Brees, you know, and right. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
nobody picked him up, right?
So, right, and plus there were some warning signs before he signed that big contract as far as his ability to handle that and attitude
right.
and maturity and that sort of thing. And I guess what I mean, if I was an owner, before I invested $250 million into him, I would probably do more than look at an on-the-court analysis and say, okay, this is going to be a different person. How are they going to handle that? I think the most ideal example we've ever had is Drew Brees. I mean, I don't think his work ethic, his performance declined due to age, but it wasn't based on preparation. And, you know, the money.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I guess, you know, that it's just one of those things. It's I think the sooner you get rid of them, the better. Okay. And, okay, let's go to phone lines. Let's get out of sports and let's go to back to legal. Let's go to Gary in Mississippi calling regarding a child custody issue. Hey, Gary, you're on All Things Legal.
How are you doing? I know it's a little bit different than Louisiana law.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We picked your station up in Mississippi as well. So I'm dating someone. We've been together for a while. We've been separated for 5 years or something like that. It's been like 5 years.
Well, okay, you've been dating.
And we've been separated.
But you're still married.
Legally.
Legally. That's what I mean. I meant legally. Yeah, yeah. Legally married, but separated and dating someone else. Gotcha.
Yes, and we've all moved on and so forth. I was wondering. So my question basically with this is, if you know, we're planning on getting married in like 2 months, the divorce is going to be final,
mm-hmm.
and I've met her kids, and
mm-hmm.
and would it be okay to meet my kids? Would that affect anything? I presently have every other weekend.
Legally.
Every other weekend right now? And would that be a problem? Her husband knows about me, but would that affect custody with my soon-to-be ex-wife?
Legally, you're separated, but you're not divorced in Mississippi, right? Or is it a legal separation, or are you just physically separated?
It's a legal, yeah.
It's a legal separation. Okay, so you're legal separate. Do y'all have a custody arrangement in place?
Yes, I have every other weekend. My kids are almost 18 anyway. And
okay, well, first of all, if they're almost 18, from a pragmatic standpoint, the courts aren't really going to intervene because at that age, you know, first of all, the custody arrangements aren't generally there's some variation to it because they're 18. And, you know, if the 18-year-olds are okay, if they're 17 and they're okay with it and there's not a problem, a judge isn't going to mess with it.
So they, yeah. I can go have her, my kids go around her, sure. And it's not a problem. I mean,
They're 17 years old. No, I mean, no, this we're in 2025, and we just live in a different society. There's a lot more fluidity.
I wouldn't get any kind of trouble or anything.
No, I don't see any trouble you would get into. They're 17 years old. It's not like they're newborns or toddlers or right. You know, or young and impressionable. You know, when you have 17-year-olds, you normally have a custody arrangement, but they're 17 years old. They sort of do their own thing.
Right.
You know, so
they don't even hang around on the weekends.
And plus, you know, when you have a custody issue regarding any children over 14, 15, 16, 17, their preference is a very important factor in the ultimate determination. So a lot of times we've even had situations where, you know, a 17-year-old kid's preference is to be with mom or dad, but on the other hand, maybe the other parent isn't as the best parent, but he doesn't want to be with that parent. The judge relies a lot on their preference, but I don't see that as a problem. I think it's more of an issue of, you know, doing it properly from a personal standpoint. You know, in other words, you know, how do you do that in a way that sort of integrates your soon-to-be wife in a healthy fashion, in a fashion that, in a time period that your kids feel comfortable in. You know,
It's almost 8 months. You don't see a problem in that, I guess.
No, I don't see that. I mean, I think it's just more of a personal issue.
Personal issue.
Yeah, how to do it that's best personally for, you know, your new wife, your kids, how to get them to meet, and, you know, sort of take it slow.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Enjoy. Thank you.
Well, good luck on your upcoming marriage. Hope everything works out. All right. Thanks for the call. Colin, let's go to early break, okay? And we got something. We'll have a little more time for our next segment. So let's go to break. There you go. I blindsided you on that one, Colin. Thanks.
You did. You caught me off guard.
But let's go to break. Doug Cinceri, Albert and Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert and Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Now, let me ask you something. We've got the Super Bowl next week. You have all the bets. You have all these prop bets. And then if you want to be like a good, I guess, a listener for WWL do business with their sponsors, should you call California Psychics first before you decide what team to bet on in the prop bets? Do you think that's a strategy there?
Yeah, and it better be life-changing or it's free.
Okay. That's one thing. We'll get the bets and say, hey, you know, who's going to win the coin toss? Who's going to score first? Right. You know, who's going to win the game spread? You know, you bet the money line. Call California Psychics. If they give you the wrong answer, then get your money back, right?
There you go.
All right. Just checking. All right. We got a couple of texts probably up Albert's alley. So, Colin, you want to let it rip?
Absolutely, guys. Someone texted in saying that they are building a home. They have a friend that has built homes that will hold their hand through this. But they're the contractor, not the friend. The individual that is building the home is a contractor, a general contractor. And they're wondering, can you speak to the pitfalls I may encounter and what legal docs I may need before starting?
So the state allows, through the state licensing board for contractors, they allow an individual to act as their own contractor in renovating or building a home. They can do one per year, and they have to move into the home and live in the home. for a year. And one of the there are a couple of exclusions, you know, exceptions, I guess, if you move out of state, you know, so not out of state, more than 50 miles away, if you get a divorce. I mean, there's certain exceptions to the rule, but basically, do you have that right to build your own home or contract your own home? And so, but you cannot do it, and this is where so many people mess up and violate the law, is that you cannot do it to flip a house, and you cannot do it to renovate a house and rent it out. You must have licensed Louisiana residential contractors, depending on the extent of the renovation and the cost of the renovation. If it's a new build, certainly it's going to cost more than $75,000, which is the residential limit where you have to get a residential contractor's license once the value of the labor and materials exceeds 75 grand. And then if not, if it's more than 7,500, the person performing the work has to have a home improvement certificate, you know, you have to take a test. You have to, you know, there actually, believe it or not, the lower down in the food chain, the more restrictions there are. So, you know, you have more restrictions as a home improvement contractor, as have a home improvement certificate, than a residential contractor, or even a commercial contractor. You'll see a lot of people that, you know, get a commercial contractor's license, and because they don't have to hold the insurance. So they're licensed as a commercial contractor. But the problem is, if they build anything in a residence more than 75 grand, then they have to be licensed by the state as a residential contractor. So the pitfalls you're wondering about, I know I've said a lot with those parameters, but the pitfalls you're worried about, first of all, is you might be doing this illegally if the purpose of the build or the renovation is to flip it or to rent it, keep it rented. So if you're going to live there and somebody wants to hold your hand, that's great, and help you build it, and it's your own home, then the pitfalls would be you want to make sure that if you hire subcontractors, you get, and they are now, they're also hiring subcontractors, you get lien waivers from them, and you also get lien waivers as you pay them. So, okay, the foundation contractor it's $13,000 for the foundation. We're going to go ahead and write you this check for $13,000, but here's a lien waiver. I need you to sign it and provide it to me. That way, that person can never come back and say, go to your supplier, you know, whoever, you know, Lafarge Concrete, whoever supplied the concrete. I went to the supplier and they've been paid as well. So, you know, go through that process. It's a little more of a pain for the sub, but make it very clear. Make sure your subs are licensed. If the law requires that they're licensed, certainly the plumber, the electrician, the mechanical contractor, get two or three bids and find out what work they've done in the past. Look them up on the Better Business Bureau website. You can get on the go look them up in various court records to see, because it's public record. You can see whether or not lawsuits have been filed against them. And go look. It's an expense. It's a big expense. Make sure that you're doing these things. It's a 5-minute safety check, and it'll help you make a better decision. Not that things can't go wrong, but you want to make sure they have workers' comp. You want to make sure that they have liability insurance, because if they don't, then you, as the owner, buy it. Somebody falls off the roof and there's no insurance for the roofer. You pay that injured worker's damages in terms of, not damages, but you pay his a portion of his wages, and you pay all the medicals. So it's a big risk you're taking if they don't have insurance. You want to make sure the certificates of insurance are provided by every subcontractor you use. And then, call the agent who wrote that policy. and say, look, I got a certificate of insurance from this company. Could you send me an email confirming that there is, in fact, this coverage? Because sometimes people will make it up. They'll forge it, they'll change it, et cetera, and not have to pay that insurance. People do it all the time. But just make sure all those things are done. You also want a builder's risk policy. And what that will do is that will protect you in the event there's some damage that's caused to third parties, or for property damages, for theft of materials, for, you know, depending on where you build it, you put your unit outside, your AC unit, and it gets stolen before it's connected or even after it's connected. Those are the things your builder's risk coverage will cover you for. So, there's a laundry list of things you need to look at. And if the contract's with the subcontractor, you want to look at those and make sure that, you know, they're not taking advantage of you from the contractual standpoint.
If you got any questions, you can call and we can talk at the office. Let me follow up with this. If you're a buyer of a home and you bought a house that's maybe hurricane damaged from, let's say, Hurricane Ida, and the owner self-contracted the repairs. What are the issues for the buyer and the seller in connection with the purchase of that home? So you had a seller, Hurricane Ida, did the repairs, the substantial damage, did the repairs himself. And then you got a buyer who wants to buy that home, you know, as far as property disclosure is concerned. And what are some of the issues that are, both parties should be aware of in connection with, you know, that scenario?
Well, what I would do, and look, it might blow up the deal, right? What I would do is I would contact the seller and through your agent, if you have a buyer's agent. If not, contact it through the seller's agent and make sure that you get copies of all subcontracts. I want to know who did this work. I want to make sure they were insured or licensed. I want to make sure that you, as the, you know, jack of all trades builder of this, not, you know, non-licensed builder of a renovator, didn't go do the electrical work, you know, behind the back. I would get online. You can go get online in Jefferson Parish, and you can get online in Orleans Parish. It's one stop. You just sign in, you create an account, and you can get addresses. And you can you can look up that property in Orleans Parish, see if permits were called. So, those are the things that that you can do. You look, any warranties, right, for equipment. If they put a new unit in there, I want all the paperwork on it. I want to see the warranties. I want to see everything, you know, with all appliances. Give me all the appliance warranties. But just make sure that they did have it plumbing. Licensed contractor, electrical, HVAC, and at least the major systems of the house, especially if they've been inspected, should be in good order. And then, of course, the roof's a big issue. You know, I would certainly have a home inspection done and get a good qualified home inspector that is not going to play to the pressures of some of these unscrupulous real estate agents out there that just want the deal done and don't really care about the home inspection and what it may show. They want to make sure that the deal is done and they get their commission sometimes. So, and again, these are the unscrupulous agents. There are a lot of great agents out there too, but make sure these home inspectors are going to do their job and provide everything that they can provide for you to make you make you have a better opportunity to make a good choice.
Okay. All right. Colin, if you want to read the next text that
almost like a home improvement question to a degree, but it's in your alley still. It's up your alley, Albert. Someone said, good morning. I have a Bosch tankless water heater. It died after about 4 years, but had a 5-year warranty. The model has been discontinued due to poor performance, yet they sent me the same model replacement. It doesn't work. Bosch went silent. What's my recourse with the company? What would you do legally? I'm not letting them get away with this.
Well, honestly, depending on the value, depending on what parish you're in, for instance, if you're in Jefferson Parish and, you know, the value of it is less than $5,000 for the equipment, go to small claims court and file suit against Bosch in small claims court. They're going to have to defend it. And so now my guess is if you look at the agreement, there's probably some sort of arbitration provision that, you know, you've got to go through, et cetera, to with the warranty. And that kind of dissuades people from doing it because they've got to put up some money to make sure that, you know, the arbitration proceeding is passed. Whereas if it's the Justice of the Peace, I want to say it's like $80 or something to file the lawsuit and another $20 to have it served through the long arm statute. And they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to defend it somehow. They're not going to just let it sit. It's a lawsuit. And so they'll have to hire some lawyer down here, some law firm to come defend it. And it might be easier just for them to send you a different product.
Right. You know, yeah. We had the situation actually in the last few months. We had an outdoor ice maker, and we had a warranty on it. Ice maker went bad. They discontinued the series. So eventually, after the warranty company knew we weren't going away, they just paid us the value of the ice maker. But the problem was the warranty agreement had some kind of, I would say, depreciation, but they had... It was a decreased value. You have to read the warranty, first of all.
Yeah.
But basically, the short version is they made a monetary settlement.
They depreciated it?
Yeah, over the course. Which was in the agreement. But, and that's why I say you read it, but if they discontinued that series, the remedy would be to pay you for the value of the refrigerator to get another one. So that would be the ultimate value. Now, right. what you'd have to do in a warranty company is let them know you're not going away, and at that point, ask for a supervisor, document it. Now, one thing you can do, I would say, is if you document this up and they don't respond, you might have an additional claim under the Louisiana Unfair Trade Practices Act. And
right.
In that case, you'd be able to get back your attorney's fees. It's basically, this act states that if you conduct any type of deceptive business practices and you're liable under this particular law, then you get your attorney's fees also, which is very helpful.
And you can report them to the Economic Crimes Division with the, Attorney General's office. It's like, yes. Hey, look, they have this deal, they write this warranty, and... You know, they're going to say, oh, we sent you a new one. Of course, there's a lot of investigation. What, you know, are you using a licensed plumber to install it? You know, is there some sort of installation error? Or is this truly, just another bad unit? I don't know. Hopefully it didn't happen to him during snow week, but with the hot water.
But and also, too, I will say this. I'll give kudos to Liz Murrow, who's our new attorney general. They have it happening up there. They have a great, great economic crime unit. They're very responsive. They work very hard. It's a very group. You know, a lot of times, this is a government agency that works, and they do a very, very good job. And I when you have these type of situations, I have no hesitation referring them because I know they will do a good job. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Cenceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cenceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. Jerry and the Pacemakers, which were a group in Liverpool at the same time as the Beatles. And they were the big ones before or coming up at the same time as the Beatles. Albert, we were talking a little bit about today, I guess, like consumer disputes. And if you want to talk a little bit about if you have a dispute that's worth, you buy something at an electronic store and, it doesn't work and you want to return it, they don't want to take it back. And, you have small claims court available to you in every parish in Louisiana where you can get a lot of these results addressed. And it's sort of like the people's court in a way where, you really don't need a lawyer. you get a quick trial date. We have one just recently where somebody worked as an independent contractor on a job, wasn't paid a couple of thousand dollars, and he's going to go have it decided in small claims court. But if you could just talk a little bit about, you know, small claims court and how that's really accessible to anybody who has a dispute under $5,000.
Right. Well, you know, unfortunately, Orleans Parish does not have, well, they have a small claims court, but it's a lot more often in the outlying parishes near, you know, our market is a justice of the peace. And believe it or not, justice of peace does not have to be a lawyer. They just sit there, listen to disputes and make a decision. Many of them are lawyers, but many are not. And, you know, you show up for the hearing and it's some guy or some gal's living room. And, you know, you sit there and one person says their side of the story and the other says their side of the story. And next thing you know, they enter a judgment and, it's an appealable judgment, and it's something that you can make executory with the courts and get the sheriff to execute on it. So that's certainly an option. And, you know, with the cost of legal fees and courts, et cetera, these days, that's sometimes the best option, you know, the most viable option. And just when you do it right, you always have to bring your proof. You know, bring your photographs, bring a copy of your contract, bring a copy of the check that you wrote for the services, you know, the copy of your text messages or emails showing the other party's liability. You know, again, bring your proof. You don't necessarily have to bring the auto mechanic, but if you get a nice little report from somebody saying, hey, look, I got this report. And so, you know, they're saying this is what was wrong with it. And, that sometimes is enough. So it's an easier, more expedient method of dealing with items in justice of the peace jurisdiction. It's $5,000. So anything under that, anything over that, there's still small claims courts in Jefferson Parish's $20,000 jurisdictional limits.
That one slide out for $50,000.
Yes.
Slidell City Court.
Yes. Yep.
And you know, Baton Rouge has a city court. I think that's $20,000 to $25,000 jurisdiction.
Exactly.
Also.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of people. There's a lot of opportunities to have disputes resolved in a where you don't need an attorney if it's less than $5,000. And we get a lot of calls saying, you know, I haven't been paid by a job for $1,500 or $2,000. It's really not worth it to hire an attorney because the attorney is going to eat up the whole cost of prosecuting if you got the attorney to prosecute the case. So, or it becomes cost prohibitive. So, you know, tell me you can file these disputes yourself here. You know,
and that's the other thing people don't understand, and I have to explain that a lot is that. You know, you're entitled to attorney's fees only in limited circumstances.
Right.
If there's a statute that allows for it, or if there is in the contract, you know, the losing party would have to pay the other's attorney's fees and costs. So on the front end, if that's, you know, you have the ability to contract, you can do so and make sure you have some attorney's fee provision in there if the other side doesn't comply with, you know, the terms of the contract. Otherwise you don't get your attorney's fees back. And so, you know, you got a $3,000 claim and a $6,000 attorney's fee for having to go to court and fight it. It's something you might be better off just going to fight yourself taking your chances.
Absolutely. Let's go to our final break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, You Waking Lawyers. All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out. All right, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, Your Weekend Lawyers, All Things Legal. Got a couple of minutes. First of all, I was looking at FanDuel at the recommendation of Bobby from his advertisement last segment. And a couple of things. One, I was looking at the Super Bowl, but I saw that the Pelicans or a 1 to 100,000. If you bet $1, you could win $100,000 if they win the NBA championship. So if you put down 10, you'd win $1 million.
Are they mathed out of it already?
Well, I mean, it's not. I don't know that they're not mathematically out of it because they could make the play-in. But anyway, if you want to take a flyer, put $10 down, and if the Pelicans win the NBA championship, you get $1 million. So that would be quite a flyer. Second thing, the Eagles, I mean, the Chiefs are a point and a half favorite. Who do you like, Albert, so far?
You know, it's hard to not bet on the Chiefs. I mean, they've won probably 10 games this year, close games, but they know how to finish. And if they have the ball with a minute left,
yes,
and in scoring distance, it's hard to bet against Mahomes.
It's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I mean, if what's going to happen is Philly's going to have to get a big lead and then rely on their defense to hold on to it. Otherwise, if it's close, I think KC wins. It's a three-peat.
Yeah. I think if Barkley gets over 100 yards, Philadelphia wins. Because I think they would control the clock a little bit. Maybe it's a slight vulnerability of Kansas City on the run defense. Very slight. But, it's a good Super Bowl. I mean, I think it's a very competitive. And, again, these quarterbacks are of a different generation. They're no longer the drop-back Tom Brady, Drew Brees quarterbacks. They're RPOs who can, they can run. So, NFL is always evolving. And so this Super Bowl is part of the evolution. We've got about 45 seconds. Any parting shots, Albert?
No, just y'all have a great week, and thanks for listening, and call in early, right? And, get your calls in.
That's right.
We'll see you next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday.
That's right. That's right. So I am going to say I'm inclined to think the Eagles, I would take the Eagles for 1.5, but I have to ponder on that. So next Sunday, I will see if I'm in the same place as I am today. All right, let's go to so we'll see you next week on All Things Legal. Cullen, awesome job as usual. We got to get you that raise very, very soon. And we'll see you next week on All Things Legal. Have a wonderful week. God bless.